podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting firehose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. Each week, we begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a segment called We See You, and then we end with something hopeful. Today, we're back from our respective vacations, battling jet lag and, even more tiringly, absorbing all the news from the last 10 days, and it's a doozy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice to be removed from the 24-hour Twitter cycle, but trying to digest everything has been really gross and demoralizing and overwhelming, and I quite literally have nowhere to begin. Yeah, but maybe before we dive in, how was your vacation, your Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, it was great. I lurked over to Oahu with my bae, and his dad lives on the island. So he spent some family time, snorkeled with some fishies, ate really good food.
Got some fish tacos.
My one request from the trip. And yeah, it was pretty great. Got some dick, you know?
I mean, that all sounds pretty great.
Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ear.
Yeah. Did some synchronized swimming, you know.
Yeah.
The huge.
Where'd you do synchronized swimming?
In the pool.
Oh.
We made a routine.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make it to the Olympics.
I believe in you.
Do they have? They don't have that.
They should have that.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
How about you, my queen? You went to Spain.
Had to pause there.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Not Italy.
Yeah, no. But I did go to Spain to visit my friend mm-hmm. who lives there. My dear, lovely, wonderful friend. And it was really, really cool. Like, Sevilla, where she lives, and her boyfriend's from there. Is just so beautiful. Mm. And I wish I had actually, like, you know, spent more time in Sevilla, so I kind of already can't wait to go back, because we went to Lisbon and to, like, this castle that's really one of the best parts of the trip was this castle.
You love a castle.
You know how I love castles and those types of things. But actually, so that castle was Sintra, and it was amazing. But even more on point for me was in Lisbon, they have a coach museum.
Oh, now she's getting all riled up.
I know. It's a museum dedicated to just 17th through 19th century carriages.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And they had, like, one from Louis XIV and, like or Louis XIV and his court. And it was, like, gilded and beautiful and... one of the ones that was very funny was a carriage that was for, like, one of the kings of Portugal's bastards. And so it was just, like, it was literally, like, half of a carriage.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. It just could not have been more obvious and sad, but also did make me giggle.
Poor bastard.
I know. So... the Coach Museum was cool. But anyway, yes. So Spain and Portugal, I had a lovely, lovely time, and it was just a delight.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it one reason why it was nice, and I think you probably also felt this way, not to speak for you,
but
was just sort of stepping away from the news cycle, because every time I dipped a toe back in, it was fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was really nice. I barely checked anything.
Yeah.
Put on MSNBC at one point for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Talking about Mueller, and then I was just like, I'm gonna go swimming.
Yeah, like, it was all here when we got back, and like, boy, was it. I just want to take, like, 2 seconds to acknowledge that there was a wild statement by Trump defending the Saudis against the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. And just a reminder for people, that's the Washington Post journalist who was murdered at the hands of the Saudi government directly at the Turkish embassy or rather at the Saudi embassy in Turkey, the day before his wedding. He was going there to get some paperwork. His fiance was waiting outside, and he was brutally dismembered within minutes of entering the embassy. And the Saudis have changed their story many times about what happened. And I'm glad that the story hasn't left the news, but I'm sickened that we have the administration defending the Saudis in this way. It's so scary and the opposite of what we should be doing.
It's incredibly terrifying and awful. And what's happening?
And as of yesterday, I think this happened yesterday, but I just also have to call out that Bolton, National Security Advisor John Bolton, and he has a crazy mustache. He looks like an evil, just cartoon. He looks like a cartoonish villain. At a press briefing, basically said he hasn't listened to the tape, because there's audio of Jamal Khashoggi being murdered that exists. And Bolton said, no, why would I listen to the tape? I don't speak Arabic. What would I learn from it? And I don't know where to begin with that, but if I'm taking the question literally, you are the national security advisor, so you do have access to translators. So translators, but do you need a translator to understand what's happening when someone's brutally being dismembered? It's your job.
I would say no, but yeah, he's got so many tools at his disposal that he can, translators. There's no, that's not a reason.
And how flippant. I mean, in another administration, that type of response would just be so, you would resign.
Yeah. It's also disrespectful to him, to Jamal. He's not getting the justice he deserves.
No.
His poor fiance.
I know. Ugh.
But Jared Kushner loves Saudi Arabian king.
Yeah, I mean,
BFFs.
And the king, his name is, or no, it's a prince, his name is Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS. And he, just a reminder, has been heard bragging that Jared Kushner is in his pocket. Yeah. So this is just a reminder.
Yay.
This shit is swirling.
Russia has Donald in their pocket. The Saudis have Jared. It's just great.
It's great.
Great news.
Yeah. It's really... And these problems, just will continue past this administration, whenever the fuck it's over, this madness, this direct madness ends. We're all going to have to deal with this.
It's going to be, trickle-down madness.
Yeah.
So many things you have long-term repercussions, and, and then, of course, they'll blame whoever's in office at the time.
Right.
For things that are, but I just hope things get better, Maria.
I hope so, too.
So should we talk about tear gassing migrants?
Yeah. I guess we have to, because I guess that happened. And take us away.
Take us away. God, this is awful. So there's a port of entry between Tijuana and San Diego. And at that point of entry, tens of thousands of people cross between U.S. and Mexico each day. And that's where this happened. Basically, border control used tear gas on these migrants. There are conflicting reports about whether that happened first or rocks were thrown first. However, only four Border Patrol agents were hit by rocks. No one was damaged. They have protective gear on. The migrants did not have protective gear on. And in my opinion, tear gas is not a suitable response to that. And just a little info about what tear gas does. This is straight from the CDC, so it's, legit.
Legit.
It can cause burning sensation in the eyes and mouth, shortness of breath, burns or rashes. Prolonged exposure, can lead to blindness and breathing problems. It's prohibited by the Chemical Weapons Convention to use tear gas in war. So that's a thing. And in kids, it can cause permanent skin burns and breathing trouble. And there were children there, and also the winds were carrying it. I don't know, the furthest it went at least half a mile away, I believe further.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people have seen their images of, you know, parents running with their toddlers away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know what to, where to go from there. Apparently lots of children fainted.
It's just, because when you look at the details of what happened and what's continuing to happen down at the border and the way we're treating people who are so vulnerable, like, so the definition, you know, in the poem on the Statue of Liberty, the New Colossus, where it's like, you know, you're poor, you're huddled masses yearning to breathe free. We're quite literally choking people.
Yeah. Nail on the head.
You know, we're the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. It just, this is the antithesis of what we are. And the details on a micro level are so upsetting. I'm glad that there are these pictures that sort of, I mean, the irony of having that, mm-hmm. that mother with her kids in the Disney princess shirt that she's wearing.
God, it's got goosebumps.
Yeah, it's, there is no reason, and I can't believe in 2018 we have to say this, there is no reason that we should be tear gassing children who, parents, like, when all they have is the clothes on their back, that is, like, they're trying, they already know that Trump is president and mm-hmm. that they are, like, facing, like, an incredible bureaucracy of hell if they even get here across the border, and yet they're trying because they're so desperate. Where is our sense of empathy here?
I don't know, man. And I did want to address, there's some, I feel like there are these common sort of talking points, sort of anti-immigrant things that people like to say that aren't based in facts. And I think if you believe them to be true, it would give you some hesitation. But just a few, you know, like that they bring in crime, you know, Trump mm-hmm. and his rapists and whatever comment.
Yeah.
But this has been studied, and immigrants, regardless of where they're from, they're less likely than native-born citizens to commit crimes or become incarcerated. And that's according to the Anti-Defamation League. They sort of did a roundup of facts. There's also the idea they're taking our jobs. That's not a thing. I mean, they buy our products, which helps create jobs. Apparently, immigrants are twice as likely to start businesses as citizens born in the U.S., mm-hmm. and companies owned by immigrants are more likely to hire employees than companies owned by native-born citizens. Mm-hmm. States with large number of immigrants report lower unemployment for everyone. They also do pay taxes. Everyone pays sales tax, and more than half of undocumented immigrants' households file income tax returns using something called individual tax identification numbers. And just, like, to address the wall for a fucking second.
Yeah, address it, please.
Can I address the wall for a fucking second?
Ugh.
People get all riled up. They want this wall. The border between the U.S. and Mexico, it's close to 2,000 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue. Mm-hmm. It spans over, like, deserts and mountains. Rivers apparently flow along two-thirds of it. And a lot of the area is private property, so that means the government would need to buy from all of these owners to build a fence or a wall, and not all these people want to sell land. And also, how much fucking money would it cost?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a solution. Tear gassing isn't a solution. We need reforms, but, like,
like,
we need to let people it's legal to, like, they weren't doing anything illegal by coming here either. We have a process for people to get here.
Right. And a legal process to mm-hmm. seek asylum.
Right.
And
I'm all riled up now, Maria. I'm going to drink my tea.
It's fair to be riled up. And it's, like, I think it's worth, and this is, I learned this, you know, this specific origins of seeking asylum from, mm-hmm. I think, the New York Times yesterday or whatever. But the process for legally seeking asylum mm-hmm. did come into development after World War II. Mm-hmm. There was the boat. It was called the Voyage of the Damned. Mm-hmm. yeah. Like the boat, the MS St. Louis, traveled from Germany with over 900 Jewish refugees. And they tried, they were just fleeing persecution. They were denied entry to the United States and Canada and Cuba. So they had to turn around and go back to Europe. They were accepted in the UK and France, and it looks like also maybe the Netherlands. But it's estimated that at least a quarter of them died in death camps during World War II because they weren't able to seek asylum. And there was great reflection on that in the U.S. in the wake of World War II. Mm-hmm. So that's how seeking asylum became sort of a part of U.S. immigration, legal mm-hmm. U.S. immigration policy. We should just think about that for a fucking second. It's legal, or it was until I think Jeff Sessions. I forget if he made it, if it was like just an executive decree, but it was legal for women to flee domestic violence, mm-hmm. And now that's called into question. And a lot of these issues that people are fleeing from Guatemala and Honduras, and I forget, I think Guatemala is the most dangerous country in the world. It's either Guatemala or Honduras, but they are completely dominated by gangs, mm-hmm. and those are problems that were created by the United States in a variety of different ways. And I think mm-hmm. I forget if we've talked about this on this podcast, but I don't really want to like butcher this the history of why these countries are specifically so dangerous, but we sent back a bunch of criminals that we had. They were like in LA, you know, and sort of grew up forming gang culture in LA. Mm-hmm. And then we just basically, when we arrested them in the mm-hmm. 90s, we shipped them back to Honduras and Guatemala and basically mm-hmm. said, like, your problem now. Yeah. And then they just sort of kept the formalized gang mentality and mm-hmm. it grew. But that was in the 90s. But if you go back earlier and the different Contra scandals, we had mm-hmm. to formally apologize for setting up essentially just like regimes that were anti-socialist regimes, mm-hmm. but the U.S. was backing violence and dangerous governments in the 80s under Reagan in like shady ways. So we contributed in large part to the destabilization and the violence mm-hmm. that exists there now. And yeah, it's not cut and dry, mm-hmm. and it's not convenient or pleasant to think about, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider it, as we're just so callously blocking people from seeking shelter in this country.
Right. It's like so many of them, from what I've read and things that people have been quoted saying, who are coming over here, who have come over here, who want to come over here, it's like it's either death mm-hmm. where I'm from or just trying this out. It's like you don't have any other options. And I just wish people had more compassion and looked at these people as human beings, and which they are.
Yeah.
And not someone coming to take your job or coming to take... It's just, that's not what's happening. They just want a life, literally a life. And just putting yourself in their shoes for 5 seconds and to being that desperate to make that...
And to put your kids in that type of danger. Yeah. You know that that's... Like, that's got to be the ultimate. You are throwing yourselves at the mm-hmm. mercy of Border Patrol agents.
Yeah, in Trump's America.
Yeah.
How scared you have to be and how desperate. I just...
And I'm thinking of, like, you know, there's a musical Ragtime, and there's a song where it's called Journey On, and they're talking about how immigrants, you know, it's a story about immigrants, and mm-hmm. they're talking about how immigrants become very patriotic Americans because mm-hmm. of being led into this country, and it takes place around the turn of the century. But it just, I'm reminded of also when we saw that musical about Irving Berlin.
How lovely.
Yeah, and just how Irving Berlin was a Jewish immigrant, in, like, around World War I, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit before that. And he ended up writing God Bless America.
Yeah.
Immigrants are so... I mean, like, it just feels like a platitude to even say, like, immigrants are so important, because it's like, they're not just so important. That's what this country is.
Right. Like, unless you're a Native American, you come from immigrants. And, you know, I think the issue is just racism and the color of the skin of the people coming in from that part of the country.
Yeah. And this is just, again, like, and it's just hard because it's... Knowing that this is a black mark again in this country, like, mm-hmm. just the history books when they're written, this is not going to be a pretty part.
No, if they're allowed to write it.
If they're allowed to write it. And the lies around the whole thing. Oh,
so many lies.
Like, Kristen Nielsen, like, what a fucking bitch.
Wow.
I know. I said it and I don't take it back. I find her so appalling. Because she will just, as with most of them, but mm-hmm. she will just stand there and lie to the camera.
Yeah.
No, that's not our policy. You know, family separation is not the policy. Well, then why are you separating families then?
She's a literal shit.
Yeah.
She's, you know, actual feces, I think.
Yeah. Someone described her as, like, some blog or Twitter or something was, like, you know, like, you're the evil stepmom. Like, mm-hmm. the epitome of, like, the stepmom that, you know, is terrible. And I just think, she looks like that.
She's cackling, like, somewhere.
Just a cruel woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she sucks.
Yeah.
She sucks. So it's just, you can't swing a cat in this administration without hitting someone who sucks. Sucks. Don't swing cats.
Yeah, I was going to say, nice, I'm to very cats. Surprised that you even used that expression.
I know. I regret it. I'm sorry, cats of the world.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
I'll own it.
Well, yeah, I don't know what else there is exactly to say about this.
No.
We're tear gassing children.
First you put them in camps and prisons, essentially, and now we're gonna tear gas them. God.
Yeah.
All right, we see this.
Yeah, let's...
Womp and womp.
Womp. We'll move on to the We See Yous. I am permanently and forever not ever going to ever be able to let go
James
of
Comey.
James Comey.
I knew it.
And I think I already said that as a We See You last week.
You can say it every week, baby girl.
I will
whatever
fucking
you need
say it every
to deal,
week.
To process.
James Comey used a private email account and acknowledged that that was, quote, embarrassing for him. But also, Ivanka used a private email account. She was using it the entire time that Trump was, like, shitting on Hillary for this. Trump uses an unsecured phone. No one cares about the security of the country. And that whole charade against Hillary was absolute steaming horse manure. Mm-hmm. That is how I feel.
It is true.
I see you, Ivanka. I see you, James Comey. Your sanctimonious Twitter feed is never going to rectify the damage you have caused this country, you fucking asshole.
Tell us how you really feel, Maria.
We see you.
Are you upset about it?
I'm upset.
Yeah, it's fucked up. I agree. So Trump was trying to fast track the trans military ban. Fuck you. We see you.
Great.
That's
cool. Yeah. Hey, Fox and Friends fed the exact interview script to Scott Pruitt before they interviewed him. They fed like the entire script. So not really an interview or anything. So just we see you guys. It's not that that's like illegal. It's just not really journalism. So
wonderful. Yeah. That's something I didn't realize until you. So Trump waived rigorous background checks, including fingerprint, for all staff working at the nation's largest detention camp for migrant children, according to the AP. So, yeah, we don't need background checks for people working with kids, right?
Yeah.
No. When I was a camp counselor, the amount of intense, like no, fuck, that's so, especially when there have been reports of, I'm getting too into it,
but
when there were reports of abuse. Physical, sexual, emotional.
Yeah.
We need more. If we're going to be putting these children in detention camps.
Without their parents' supervision.
We need people who are not child abusers.
Yeah.
And also we need to not put children in jail for just existing in a place. But anyway, we see you.
We see you. Bullshit.
Trump.
God. So a recent report by The Nation shows that $21 trillion of Pentagon financial transactions can't be traced, documented, or explained. That is since from like from 1998 to 2016. That's a lot of money that is unaccounted for. $21 trillion?
That's a lot of green.
Of government green.
Mm-hmm.
So, we see you, the Pentagon? Like, where was that money going?
Another doozy. West Virginia eliminated insurance coverage for abortion for low-income women, and there's only one clinic that performs abortions. We see you, West Virginia.
We fucking see you. Michigan's Republican Senate, before newly elected Democrat takes office, are really trying to kind of fuck their state up. They're trying to gut the minimum wage hike and paid sick leave laws. And again, it's just one of those things where you see it and you just think, like, why, other than to be, like, bad people? What is, like, an actual real policy reason? The minimum wage hike was to be in keeping with inflation at least a little. And this is like just if you can even go with the conceit that minimum wage is the minimum wage that you can live on, which of course it is not.
Nope.
So this measure would actually delay increasing the minimum wage from $12 an hour from that it was set to be $12 an hour in 2022. They want to push it to 2030.
That is so redonkulous.
Yeah. So, and they were doing a lot of other bullshit, shady shit with, like, paid medical leave. Like, again, aside from being evil? But just Michigan State Senate, we see you.
We see you. All right, should we move to a good thing? Do you want to see more people?
Let me do one more.
Get it out, girl.
Because there's so much shit.
There is a lot.
Sinclair Broadcasting, which owns over 200 media affiliates and has been called out many times for their basically, like, it's not journalism. It's just conservative script reading on different local news channels. And it affects so many people. You're watching a local news channel. You think you're getting like local news, but they're actually reading a national script and the slant that they're giving news stories and the news stories that they choose. It is all very tailored to fit a conservative agenda of Sinclair Broadcast Group. And they gave everyone, Sinclair Broadcasting, like, gave, there are 200 local outlets, a specific defense of the Border Patrol's use of tear gas against migrants. And so they forced all of the 200 affiliates to basically read this script. And it included just saying, the fact of the matter is that this is an attempted invasion of our country, period. And it's just like, that's that again, this is not, and these aren't news stations. And so it's really scary to think that there are 200 local stations with this aura that they're actually local news and they're mm-hmm. giving an independent statement. Right. And they're all saying the same thing. It is chilling. So we see you, Sinclair Media. Like, at some point, hopefully you'll have to be disbanded in the future. I guess I just fantasize about it. We
see you. Fingers crossed.
Let's move to a good thing. Why don't we?
Why don't we?
Why don't we? Oh, God.
Yeah. Good thing. Let's fucking double it up, dude.
Yeah.
So, or maybe triple it up. I want to shout out to Knickers.
Knickers! I love Knickers.
Knickers is a huge-ass cow in Australia. Just Google it. Just Google Knickers Australia cow and just, like, I don't know, enjoy that.
Enjoy it. I mean, and also picture, like, I was pretty proud of my own joke where I was like...
Tell it.
Me, you know, how I picture myself in group photos. Because it's just like... Guys, let me be in the middle. Knickers here.
Maria, it's not Knickers.
I feel like Knickers sometimes.
Speaking of Knickers, Knickers might have some new clothing options. Mm. What a great transition. Can I just give myself a shout out?
That's pretty impressive.
So Amy Schumer has launched a new clothing line that's going to go all the way up to size 40, which is great because yes. there are really limited options for plus size women in terms of getting clothes that... fit and, you know, you actually have, like, options in terms of what you want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Imagine that.
I remember even when I was, like, a size 12 having a hard time at some stores. Like...
Oh, yeah.
It's just... So, thanks, Amy. I guess there was a limited release that's up to size 20, but very, very soon it will go up to 40. So, yay, then, more options.
Like, the psychology of feeling like when you're at a store and... you immediately have to shove everything to the back because you know that your size is, like, the last size. Mm-hmm. It sucks. That's me frequently, mm-hmm. my, like, pant size because mm-hmm. it's, you know, God, it depends on what store.
Yeah, but, and if it doesn't fit, then you're just like, cool, yeah, like, nothing fits me. Yeah.
Nothing big enough to fit my huge thighs.
Can we just talk about Maria's wonderful ass for a moment? Maria is one of the best asses of all time, and that's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah, but they don't really fit into, like, H&M jeans, so.
But they fit into your dreams. Or your butt fits into whatever. Talk about Disney.
Oh, and I guess one thing that's definitely a good thing has just been that Disney's live action movies trailers have been, like, lighting up my feed, and it's
yes.
very exciting.
Beyoncé!
Beyoncé's Nala. The cast of The Lion King is going to be great.
So excited.
John Oliver's, like,
I'm
Zazu.
So excited for that.
I just can't fucking wait to be king.
Oh! Yes. Yes, queen.
Yeah, and Mary Poppins is coming out at Christmas with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Emily Blunt, and, like, yes yeah, to I mean, all of that.
Lin makes your... I mean... He's wonderful. But
he's
he really
a gem.
Makes you. Your juices flow.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. You need to clean up these seats.
No, it's more in like a, well, that too, but like definitely more of like a cozy,
yeah.
you know, vibe of yeah. lovely
yeah.
and musicals.
Yeah. You love your musicals and your coach musicals.
I know. I know. I am who I am.
And I love you for it.
I love you too, and I love that there are good things, and good things are happening in the world.
There are.
Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer to suss them out.
Mm-hmm. But yay, cool. All right. Bye, guys.